Sonoma County Focus.
And welcome back to another episode of Sonoma County Focus. My name is Jeff Woodworth, and I am joined in studio today by Bridget Palmer, the executive director of A Theater for Children and the president and founder of We Save the World. Welcome in, Bridget.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Jeff.
Yeah, how are we doing this morning?
I'm great. I'm so excited to be here.
All right. First things first, who is Bridget Palmer?
Wow. That is a long story, but I'll try to make it fast.
What a loaded question. Yeah, just give us a little background about yourself.
Well, I mostly grew up in Santa Rosa.
Okay.
And I always loved theater, mm-hmm. so I did as much of it as I could growing up.
Okay.
And when I got older, I wasn't quite sure where to go with my direction in theater, but I ended up becoming a children's theater teacher. So okay. now I have been leading hundreds of shows over the last couple decades in Santa Rosa.
Yeah, how did you get started with in becoming a theater director, or a theater teacher?
Well, basically, I had been staying home with my kids for a little while when they were tiny.
Yeah.
And then one day I thought, oh, what jobs are out there? And I looked in the Press Democrat, and there was a listing for after-school theater teachers from Parks and Rec.
Okay.
And one said, it said theater teachers. And I was like, wow, I've never taught theater to children, but I am a mom, yeah. and I know a lot about theater, so maybe I can convince them to let me do it.
Okay, and so then end up being an advertisement for A Theater for Children, or was that
No, it was long before A Theater for Children in that okay. sense. It just was, they're looking for their after-school adventure teachers.
Yeah.
So I started doing that, and then little by little, it developed into something called Santa Rosa Children's Theater that I led for a long time.
Okay.
And then about a decade ago, I took over A Theater for Children as another nonprofit that stages big shows for the community.
Okay. I want to touch upon that real quick, but first, education background was in theater, I imagine.
Yeah.
Where'd you go to school?
I went to UC Berkeley to get a PhD in theater.
Oh, okay.
and
All
then
right.
ended up teaching children, so.
Yeah, no.
You know, it wasn't necessary, but yeah. I also studied in Poland. I did a kind of like a couple years of working in a Polish theater company that started with a group in Sonoma County that went over to Poland together, but I was the only person that ended up staying there for a long time doing more acting.
What were some of the challenges of doing theater over in Poland?
Well, the language, of course.
I was going to say, language barrier probably
also,
be the most
honestly,
obvious.
Honestly, it was communist when I went over there, so it was like a whole different culture. And, you know, sometimes there wasn't stuff to buy in the store, like toilet paper, for example.
Lots of stories that you could take away from there.
Very adventurous.
How did that come about? How did you guys pick Poland of all places?
I had a fantastic mentor at Santa Rosa High School named Beth Craven. And she had done training when she was younger in Poland. And so that was her dream to kind of go back there and give the opportunity to young people like me back in Poland. So she had moved from Santa Rosa High School to Sonoma State University, and she was teaching in their theater department. And in the mid-80s, she got a group together, and we went over to Poland to do a project. And I ended up staying and becoming part of an international company over there.
Oh, wow. Do you remember the name of the show that you guys were putting on over there?
Yes, it was called The Splendor and Death of Joaquin Murrieta.
Okay, what was it about? I mean, obviously The Splendor and Death of Joaquin, but...
it's a Pablo Neruda poem and story.
Okay.
And it incorporates California history, so we thought that would be really interesting to take over to Poland and share some of our culture and our history with Polish audiences.
Oh, that's so cool. I mean, are the Polish as... When I think of ballet, I think of Russia.
Yes.
That's like where, you know, I'm sure they drill them in and they're taking care of that. Is it as big as in Poland as well?
Not ballet, no. But
no.
Theater is a big deal in Poland.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So, fast forward, now bring it back. You said 10 years ago you took over at A Theater for Children. What is A Theater for Children?
Yes. It's really a beautiful program. We're very unique because we don't charge for our services. Anybody can participate in it for free.
Okay.
The only thing is that they have to audition because we have a limited number of spots for every show.
Yeah.
We do three big productions for the public. Every year over two weekends, and it's with about 25 to 35 children actors, depending upon how many each show needs.
Mm-hmm.
And then we try to offer the shows to as many people as possible. So we keep our ticket prices really low. When I started, they were $5, and now they're $7.
Oh, okay.
You know, 10 years later.
Gotta adjust for inflation.
Yeah, and we give away up to 200 tickets every show to different nonprofits like The Living Room and different groups like that, Boys and Girls Clubs, to try to make sure that low-income families can come to the shows as well.
And inspire the next generation.
And it's mostly a volunteer organization, so that's why we can keep the ticket prices so low. It's It's really a labor of love from the people that do it.
Is it a nonprofit?
Yeah, it's a nonprofit. Okay, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Managing 30 kids, I think that's where that PhD from Berkeley comes into account. What's the biggest challenge that you notice coming from someone who has a doctorate in theater, and then now you've got to control kids and kind of direct them and navigate them as they put on these productions?
I don't think the challenge is with the kids so much. The challenge is just that it's a really complex activity to put on a show.
Yeah.
Because you have all these different pieces of it with the scenery and the costumes and the marketing and all of that. So that's what's the most difficult, because we're volunteer-based.
Uh-huh.
So every time we do a show, we have to count on people that we don't know who they're going to be exactly.
You have to
recruit volunteers over and over again. Luckily, there's a certain amount of families that really like us and they come back. So over time, some of those parents become more skilled in certain areas and they tend to volunteer again. But we never know if they will come or they won't come.
Yeah.
So that's the biggest challenge. But the kids themselves, it's not so difficult because they're kids that love theater. That's why they want to do it. They have to put in more time than in a typical play.
Yeah.
And so they're giving up their own their own freedom to like maybe play soccer or whatever else they might be doing to come and be part of a play. So they're pretty focused overall.
So I know that you guys have some productions coming up and we'll get to that in a minute. But I just want to get like a behind the scenes idea of what it's like and what the volunteers and what the kids are putting themselves through, you know, willingly.
Yeah.
But, so say you're going to have a production that's going to go on for 2 weekends.
Yes.
How much, when do you start prepping for that production? Mm-hmm. Like how much time is in between?
Yeah. It's usually about a 2-month process.
Okay.
And the kids are coming 2 to 3 times a week for about 2 to 3 hours of rehearsals every week.
Okay. So, yeah, you would not be able to play soccer, basketball, or baseball.
Yeah, and let's not exaggerate. Those kids also are very busy, so some of them are doing other things.
Yeah.
I would say most are doing other things, but it's just a big juggling act for the parents to get their kids to us and get them everywhere else they have to be.
Okay. So. And where is a theater for children located at?
We perform at 2 locations currently. Okay. One is the Steel Lane Community Center.
Okay.
And the other one is Kid Street Charter School, which is near Railroad Square.
Where is that, by the 6th Street Playhouse?
It's kind of by there, but it's on the corner of Davis Street and 8th Street.
Okay.
It's a really old school.
Uh-huh.
When I was a child, it was called the Lincoln Arts Center, and it was just this big arts center. But over time, it was repurchased and turned back into a school, which it had been originally. And they have a 100-year-old theater in there, which is amazing. It has a balcony, it has raked seating, it has amazing acoustics. So it's a fantastic venue for us to do theater in, especially children's theater.
Yeah. Well, no, it gives the kids like a real world experience.
Yeah, just to be
like,
super fun now, and exciting
imagine this
for them.
On a macro scale.
Yeah. It even has a basement underneath the theater where they have dressing rooms, which is almost unheard of in Sonoma County to have a basement.
You know?
So it's just really cool space.
So you said that it takes about 2 months for leading up to a production.
Yeah.
And so that includes like casting. Well, that includes getting a script, casting, set decoration. Are these things that the kids themselves are involved in as well, like set decorating the set, or are we relying on more adult
volunteers? It's mostly adults. The kids help a little, but it's mostly adults.
Okay. Yeah. And I know that we say children, but what is the age range of your actors?
The youngest that we take are 8-year-olds.
Okay.
And then it basically goes up to 18.
Oh, okay.
But I'd say most of our performers are either older elementary school children or middle school children. We get some high school students.
I was going to say, because by that time in high school, you could just join your drama
department.
Exactly.
A lot of high school students are doing shows at their own schools if they're really into theater.
Yeah. But then you could get the kids that want to come back and double up. Do you notice a lot of do you guys have like collaborations with like the JC, for example, and like how they have their theater? Is there any – what's the community involvement around a theater for children?
There's not a lot of collaboration, honestly.
Oh, okay.
We tried earlier on, but those people are so busy doing their own projects, they just don't have bandwidth to get involved with us generally.
Yeah.
We do collaborate, for instance, like sharing costumes with some other organizations like 6th Street Playhouse or the Windsor Performing Arts Center, Young Actors Studio. So sometimes we're like renting costumes or swapping costumes.
Yeah. Well, that's good, because I realized after I phrased that question, I was like, well, that makes them sound terrible. It's just like you don't want to overextend yourself and then you're collaborating or you're helping out. It's like the classic, I can't help you if I don't help myself first, right? Because then you start to suffer, you know. So that
yeah.
Okay. So what do we have coming up on the calendar at A Theater for Children? What kind of performances are we going to be expecting here?
Well, we do three a year, and we're just heading into our last one of this season, which is Shrek Jr., which is a DreamWorks title. So you've got all of your favorite lovable characters from that animated movie.
Who doesn't love Shrek?
Yeah.
Okay, so it says here it's a laugh-filled, family-friendly musical where everyone's favorite ogre learns the real beauty comes from the inside. With lively songs, silly fun, and heartwarming lessons about friendship and acceptance, it's the perfect show to delight young children and their families. Where can people get tickets if that's something that sounds like?
Yeah, super easy with us. You get them online, and you just go to atheaterforchildren.com, and then you click the, you know, buy tickets. I don't know if it's already live yet for that show in May, but if not, it will be soon.
Yes, this show will be May 8th through the 10th and the 15th through the 17th, directed by Charlie Bird. It says ticket sales coming soon. Okay.
Yeah,
but you know, if I just read, then we'd be fine.
Yeah. And you can also buy them at the door.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But when you get to the door, you could either pay cash or you can go buy them online and then show them that you just paid. So it's just easier to get them ahead of time for most people.
I am noticing that you have teaching services in a couple of different schools in the area.
Yeah.
Yalupa, Heartwood, Kid Street Charter, and Strawberry Elementary. What goes on during those after-school programs?
Yeah. So those are basically short performances that don't take so much effort and time. We don't rely on parent volunteers to help us pull them off. For example, right now I'm doing an after-school show at Yalupa Elementary School, and I'll just be meeting with those students for 8 hours over 8 weeks.
Okay.
And then doing a short version of The Wizard of Oz for the parents and family members of the Yalupa school cast.
Okay. So that's just to say, like, hey, this is what could be happening if you want to bring the kid over to, or the child over to, A Theater for Children.
Yeah. It's like we're sort of bringing our program over to different school sites for those children. So if the parents at that school, or maybe like in Heartwood Charter School situation, they had contracted with us and they're a homeschool group. So we were actually teaching during the school day and those homeschool kids were coming and we were doing shows with them.
Oh, that's cool. Okay. And then if somebody wanted to volunteer, because I know you were lamenting earlier about the uncertainty around volunteering.
Yes.
How does one get in touch with you to volunteer? And what type of volunteering opportunities are there?
Yes. They could email me at admin@atheaterforchildren.com.
Pretty simple.
That info's on the website and numerous places, I'm sure.
Okay.
And if they like to do sewing of costumes or just putting together costumes, honestly, we don't do a ton of sewing anymore, but just helping organize, if that's helpful. We love help with marketing. We love help with building scenery. We would love to have more of just kind of a core group helping us, sort of like a board of directors, just helping look out for the future of the company. We would love to have a home. We don't really have our own home.
Bouncing between two theaters.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. You know, we would pray to have a space where we could teach classes, where we could have our costume shop, our scenery located. That would make our lives so much easier. So if there's any angels out there that like want to help us out, that would be fantastic.
I am speaking with Bridget Palmer, the executive director of A Theater for Children and the founder and president of We Save the World. We just were speaking about A Theater for Children, but now I would like to shift our focus and attention to We Save the World. What do we have as an interesting backstory on We Save the World, as we do with the, with the Theater for Children?
Of course.
Does it involve another foreign country visit, or what happened there?
No, basically what happened was, first of all, the Tubbs Fire came through Santa Rosa in 2017 and burned down a small house I had on my property with all my theater stuff for 30 years collected. So that was a big tragedy to me and kind of gave me pause. And then COVID happened, which I couldn't teach for a year and a half or so. And so I was like, wow, this world.
The hits just keep coming.
So I thought, you know, it was kind of the first time I slowed down because I was so busy teaching theater all the time. I couldn't really think about much else. But then I had that extra time and I started thinking, I don't know how much time I have left with all these disasters, you know?
What a morbid thought.
Well, just getting older, too.
Yeah,
you know, it's like, what really matters? And I thought, the environment really, really matters. If we don't have a safe environment, we can't even do theater. Mm-hmm. So what else can I do to make a difference with whatever time and energy I have left? So I started coming up with this idea of We Save the World. It's a nonprofit that's empowering children to become eco-heroes to help save nature.
Mm-hmm.
And so what it ended up becoming, and it's kind of branched out in different ways now, but its heart is this website. It's a digital eco-hero launch pad where kids can go on there. It's totally free to use it. They choose an eco-hero avatar, okay. And then they choose a mission like saving polar bears or saving sea turtles or coral reefs. And then they use our story templates, which have beautiful photographs embedded in them. And they write a little short story about that cause, like the polar bears. And every single one of those stories is hooked up to another environmental nonprofit that's doing the actual work of saving that animal. Like, for instance, the International Elephant Foundation. So if they did a story about elephants, then they share the story with any of their friends and family. They share it through a hyperlink that we give them when they're done writing. And then the goal for me was that they would do fundraising. So maybe they share their story with, 10 people in their family, and 5 of them make a donation, and they ended up getting $50. We send 85% of that to the International Elephant Foundation.
Okay.
So basically, whatever the kids raise, 85% is always going directly to another environmental nonprofit on the front lines of saving nature. And we keep 15% of it for We Save the World to try to cover our expenses so we can be a sustainable nonprofit ourselves.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So your vision, it says on your website, your vision is our youth empowerment movement replaces patterns of unsustainable consumerism, almost hurt myself pronouncing that, with an unstable enthusiasm to restore Earth's ecosystems. I really like the idea of getting, like, drilling into the kids at an early age, like, hey, guess what? You got to take care of the planet, because the planet, it's, eat or get eaten. It's so many ways, right? So the mission is to unleash the fundraising superpowers of young people to save nature, and their goal to save nature faster by donating $50 million to exceptional environmental nonprofits by 2035 to help them do their vital work. How did you settle on the 50 mil?
Well, I actually had a bigger goal. It was even more audacious.
Yeah.
And now I've realized, like, we probably won't get to 50 million, but
not with that attitude.
If it takes off, we really will.
Okay.
But I've looked at the numbers many different ways, and it's like, even if we could get 10,000 kids, mm-hmm. which is not that much, we could get, I think, $3 million every year for the environmental nonprofits. And I see this as definitely a whole nationwide effort.
That's not something
just
to
Sonoma
shake a stick
County.
At, though.
It's big, And if it continues to grow, that's how we get into those really big numbers. I just calculated originally off of 0.25% of American kids between third grade and 12th grade. That's how you get into hundreds of millions, or at least the 50 million for sure, by 2035.
Yeah.
So it's huge potential. I just have to kind of bridge this gap. It took me a couple of years to get exactly what this website could be and how it could work easily for people. And now that it exists, my challenge is to get the word out into the world so that people will use it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why just a couple of months ago, I raised $5,000 so that we could give it away as seed money to inspire 200 new eco heroes to use it. So the next 200 kids that use it, they'll each get $25 donated toward whatever cause they choose.
Oh, okay.
So I'm kind of trying to prime the pump and get it going.
Yeah, yeah.
So all more people will use it.
A little push, just a little assistance. So We Save the World Eco Heroes provide funding for community empowerment, educational opportunities, forest restoration, stopping wildlife crime. What exactly is a wildlife crime?
Poaching is one of the main ones. Yeah.
It's amazing how you ask a question and you realize that was a stupid question.
Yeah.
And then water conservation and scientific research. What is the biggest area of that you're focusing on right now out of all those?
Uh-huh. Well, all of those are activities that the different environmental nonprofits we support do.
Oh, okay.
So it just depends on what their focus is. Some of them are more research-oriented. Some are more education-oriented. Some examples are International Elephant Foundation, the Red Panda Network. We're supporting the Climate Reality Project, which is fighting climate change. There's about 25 different nonprofits on our EcoHero Launchpad. So whoever uses it can choose any of those, just depending upon what they're interested in. Forests, water, animals.
Okay. All right. This is Bridget Palmer, the executive director of A Theater for Children and the founder and president of We Save the World. I'm taking a look here. Volunteer opportunities. How can one get signed up to volunteer to help save the world?
Yes. Please email us at any of those email addresses we have on our website. Connect@wesavetheworld.org, Bridget@wesavetheworld.org. There's a volunteer tab and a volunteer form you can fill out. We would love help to help us get the word out and connect our story and our opportunity, our invitation to any people in your network. Maybe if you're a retiring educator, you love kids, you care about nature, you'd like to get involved. We would love to have more board members. But there's so many ways people could help us out.
Okay. And it says one of the tabs up here on your website says for educators, and it's talking about the recycling film, curriculum, trees and seas, teacher resources, project ideas.
Yes.
So this is you guys working your way into the classroom?
Yes. There's a couple of things I can tell you about that. One is we created an educator version of the EcoHero Launchpad.
Oh, okay.
So we made that even better and easier for teachers to use in their classroom. The difference from our normal EcoHero Launchpad is that the teachers can toggle on or off fundraising. So if it doesn't work for them to do fundraising, they can still use it as a writing tool for their students to learn about the environment. Uh-huh. And also it has back-end tools for the teacher where they can see the students' work and give feedback to help them with their writing before they finalize it and publish their final story for grading purposes, that sort of thing.
Okay.
The other thing is the Trees and Seas Film Festival. That is an organization that's sort of a standalone, but we're partnering with them to share some of their films every year. They're all environmental documentaries, and so we curate a short list of ones that teachers would really like to share because they're good for kids, they're not too long, and so we've been sharing those to just help get those films out into the school system as a free resource for teachers.
I really like that. Okay, and yeah, the importance on not too long, especially with, you know, the war on attention spans these days,
yeah,
with, you know, the phones and everything. Okay, and then other fun activities that are available through We Save the World.
Yeah, we are participating for the first time this year in something called the City Nature Challenge. Mm. It's an amazing idea that was founded by the California Academy of Sciences in San Francisco and also one of their partner organizations in LA.
Okay.
And what it is, it's a global effort to get people to be citizen scientists by going out into nature in this time window at the end of April to use their smartphone with a camera or a digital camera if they're into that, and take photos of nature and upload those photos through iNaturalist app. And then all of these photos from all over the world are identified of what they are, what species, and that sort of thing. And then those statistics are put together for scientists to use to help argue for cases of, oh, we need to protect this area more because we're noticing that salamander populations are decreasing in this certain area, or whatever their purposes are. We're all helping by gathering that data. And I did a kind of a dry run of it a few weeks ago in Howarth Park with our main biologist who's helping us.
Mm-hmm.
With our efforts. And it was so fun because I was going around taking photos of things that I had either noticed and I didn't really know what the plants were, or discovering things at Howarth Park I had never noticed before. I found one thing called dog vomit slime mold.
Oh.
It's this bizarre looking yellow thing on my flyer.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
You know, like, you never know what you'll find. And it's just really fun and fascinating for kids to notice things. So a local version of the City Nature Challenge is at Howarth Park from 9 to 12 on April 26th.
Okay.
And we can take up to 50 people. They can go on our website and sign up for it and just come. It's a free event. We'll have Dan there kind of giving everybody introduction about how to do it. And then we'll go off into nature and take these photos and they'll get uploaded. And it's just really fun. I encourage people to come.
It tells you to bring sunscreen, a hat, clothing, layers to be comfortable, snacks, a reusable water bottle, obviously a smartphone or digital camera.
Yes.
And of course, curiosity.
Yes.
All right. This was Bridget Palmer, the executive director of A Theater for Children and the founder and president of We Save the World. Bridget, I have about a minute for you to anything you want to say to the people. The floor is yours. It could be about A Theater for Children. It could be about We Save the World. You take the time. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Jeff. I would really like to invite people to check out both of our organizations. What we offer is either free or almost free, and it's always fun because I'm a big advocate of learning through play. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what theater is. That's what I try to make We Save the World feel like. We are trying to do something very important, but we don't focus on the scary negative aspects of it. We just try to do it with a really positive attitude to invoke curiosity and fun in the kids so they can learn something and make a meaningful difference. And for both of those organizations, I would say they're teaching leadership skills because the kids are building self-confidence by taking action, either as actors putting on a play or as trying to advocate for whatever cause they care about in saving nature.
Bridget, eloquently stated. Thank you so much for taking the time to sit down with me this morning. And I wish you the best at A Theater for Children and We Save the World.
Thanks, Jeff.
Once again, a big thank you to Bridget Palmer, the executive director of A Theater for Children and the founder slash president of We Save the World, for taking time to sit down with me this week. If you are looking for more information on either one of those organizations, you want to volunteer, you want to get involved, A Theater for Children can be found at atheaterforchildren.com. Nice and simple, super easy. And We Save the World will be wesavetheworld.org. Two very, very cool institutions. Two very cool organizations that are making an impact with the youth in our community, and that's where real change starts. And that'll do it for us on this week's episode of Sonoma County Focus. My name is Jeff Woodworth. Until next time.